Hey everyone, welcome back to Huron County Author Talk, a podcast where a group of talented local authors share their insights on the remarkable, imaginative, and nuanced world of writing. I'm your host, Hamilton Baker of the Huron County Library, and I'm excited to bring you another episode in our show. So whether you're a fan, an aspiring author, or a reader interested in hearing more about this creative process, this show is for you. In this episode, I sat down with one of Huron County's local authors, Sandy Plewis, at the Clinton Library. In our interview, Sandy tells me about her three published novels, including her new release, Dancing with the Shadows. We also discuss various elements of writing and how she goes about creating her stories.
Okay, so yeah, first question is, how long have you been writing, and what kind of books do you write?
Well, I started writing really bad poetry when I was 8. So I've been writing forever. Normally I try to do they're usually like a family saga, but they're literary. I guess that's the category you'd put me in. I don't know, really. I hate putting myself in that category. But anyway, usually they're generational. Like my last two, anyway, have been where you're back and forth in time. The first book I put out there, it was suspense. But the other two have been literary. I prefer to write literary. That was just for fun. The first one, yeah. So.
And like when you go back and forth in time, like I don't know if it's considered. Like I know some of the books are historical fiction. Mm-hmm. When they do that, are yours historical?
I guess
fiction?
You'd call them that.
Okay, so it's spring of 2023. In terms of the writing world, what are you focused on these days?
Well, I'm working on redoing a book that I did a few years ago, and I don't like the ending, so I'm rewriting the whole thing. And the latest one that came out, I'm focusing on trying to market it. So, yeah, that's about it.
How's that going?
It's done really well. It's out of the three books I have out there, it's made the most money. And even like the launch was amazing. It's done really, really well. And it's in the stores and places, but you're always, trying to kind of promote it, I guess. But anyway, the launch was extremely successful, which I wasn't counting on that. So it was good. Yeah.
That's good.
Yeah.
Because, earlier this year, you released your third novel, Dancing with the Shadows.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, let's dive into that. First of all, what's it about?
It's, again, the generational thing. One character, her timeline is like 1918 to 1925. And the other character, she's 1995, I think. Anyway, and she's the granddaughter of this one. So it's, but the one back in 1918, she kind of just disappeared. She abandoned her 6-year-old son and her husband. And the granddaughter's trying to find out what happened. She never met her, but she's been contacted by her spirit. So she thinks that she's supposed to do something to help this grandmother, but she doesn't know what it is. And she's, And she happens to have a condition that the grandmother had as well, which is synesthesia. So she, and hers started when the first time she saw the grandmother's spirit, her synesthesia started, and she knows they're connected.
Does she know what that means, synesthesia?
It's a merging of the senses.
Yeah.
Like in their case, every smell has an associated color with it. But it's not the colors you would expect. So, And also she would get migraines every time she saw the grandmother, but they were strange because they started at the back of her head, and well, they weren't a typical migraine, right? So she felt that was a message too. So anyway, and her father refuses to talk about her grandmother. So that's basically the theme that runs through it all. Yeah. There's other little side themes. But right. Yeah.
That's
yeah.
the main one.
Yeah.
And yeah, we've talked about it a bit before, so I know your main character, Abby, sounds very compelling.
Yeah.
And yeah, just can you tell us everything you came to know about her?
She's a photojournalist working for an environmental magazine. So she's constantly filming like species at risk. She's going around. When the book opens, she's gone to Newfoundland to film the humpback whales, which were in danger in that time, probably still are. And she has a 19-year-old daughter who's feisty. I love her, but she she and her mother clash. And then halfway through the book, she goes to the Carden Plain, which is the other side of Toronto. I want to say Lindsay area, maybe. Anyway, and happens to meet. She goes there for birds that are endangered, and meets this man who's very into that. And so that develops throughout the novel too. So yeah, yeah.
So yeah, what, I guess on the same vein, we had a conversation before where you were telling me about her kind of, you know, her values and the way she interacts with other people in the book. Can you talk a little bit about that?
I'm not sure. Like, she's very into conservation and the environmental issues. Her ex-husband, he's only in it briefly, but he's on the opposite page to her all the time, and they do not jibe. And he talks down to her. He's very condescending. So that comes out. She, with her father, they have a very strained relationship. But he loves his granddaughter, so she feels a little left out, you know, when her daughter is with him. But she's trying to get answers from him, and he doesn't want to tell her anything. So there's that.
Why did her and her daughter clash?
Oh, the daughter's just a typical teenager.
Right.
She's, you know,
okay.
She can't do anything. The mother can't do anything right, and the daughter's always. But the daughter develops throughout the book, too. You get to really love her. But it's just because she's a fighter, right?
Teenager.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
But initially when you meet her, you think, oh my God, she's a bit of a brat. But then she does develop, and you learn more about her, and you like her. So, yeah. She's very devoted to her daughter, but she's also on these assignments where she can be away for a week, like, you know. And the daughter resents that. So that's the main problem they have. The daughter always goes to stay with her dad when Abby's away.
So, if you came across someone in the street and could tell them one thing about the book, what would it be? I guess to entice them.
Yeah, I guess it's sort of the importance of finding out the secrets and having closure. You know, that's the main thing that develops throughout the book too. Like all these hidden things that affected her, she has to find out the truth, right? And I think it's important to find out the truth. So, yeah.
Okay, let's turn to some more general questions now. Where do you find inspiration for your books, or is it not even about inspiration for you?
It is, usually. I can't write something unless I'm something inspires me. And in this case, my family, when I was quite young, bought the farm behind us. And that's where I have Gwyneth, my main character, living with her husband and son. But the story that came with it was that Gwyneth was really Edith, and she did run off when the son was six and left the husband and son behind. And all the rumors in the community, you know, that she'd run off with the mailman and all this other stuff. Nobody ever really knew. But there's a Huron County Families book, and she is listed, and she died quite young, in her 40s. So it's always been a mystery. And of course, I was fascinated with it when I was a kid, and nobody had any answers why she did this. So I spun stories around it. I think I can remember sitting back there when I was 8 or so and just daydreaming and thinking, why did she do this? And, you know, and I don't know, I just, for some odd reason, felt a connection to her. I just thought, she has a story. She wouldn't have left her son. So I had to manufacture one. So that is the case of that. My book before that, Beyond Reach, was partly based on it was on the farm outside of Gravenhurst where my husband grew up. So that's the setting for the main character, Ray, growing up. But it was also, it was a bit, I want to say, her relationship with her father was very troubled, and I had a troubled relationship with my father. So it sort of, it was easy to write that. And in the end, you like the father, but, you know, in the beginning, you go, oh, my God, you know. So anyway, so that was sort of the base for that. And a rebellious, I mean, when we meet Ray, she's much older. But when we go back in time, she's quite a rebellious teenager, and so was I. And the first book, Broken Jane, was partly because of the blizzard of 71 in Huron County. I wanted to get that in it. And also the grocery truck that from the Holmesville General Store. Denny Glidden used to drive around to all the farms with his grocery truck. So I also wanted to put that in it. So everything has meaning to me that I write.
And I was just gonna say, do you have memories from the blizzard? Like you were.
I do. Yeah.
When you were writing that book, you could draw on some of your memories of.
Yeah, I was in grade 10, which shows my age, but and we were billeted, like they couldn't get us home from high school here. So.
Yeah, because I've heard stories from different people. So what was yours? Like, where were you away for 3 days or 4 days?
I was 5 days before they got me home. And even when they did, we were on a farm outside of Holmesville. And they dropped me at the end of the lane because it wasn't opened yet. And I remember I was walking on top of the snow, and there's this thing sticking up through the snow. I didn't know what it was, and it was the mailman's car. It was his antenna. Yeah. He had been storm-stayed at our place for a few days. I don't know how he got out of there because his car didn't. But he wasn't there by the time I got home. But he was stormed in at our place, and so was the snowplow operator. He ended up in our front field in front of the house. You couldn't see where he was going. So I think he was only there for one night. But, it was unbelievable.
Yeah.
I don't think we'll ever see anything like that again. But
I don't think so.
No. So we missed 3 weeks of school. Because
that much?
Yeah.
Yeah, I've heard stories of people telling me they were storm safe 5 days or 3 days or what have you. But
Well, once we got home, it started up again.
Oh, did it?
Yeah. So the country kids couldn't get into town. The town kids went back to school, but we didn't. It was crazy. And all the farmers are dumping milk. They had to.
Nice.
They lost a lot of money, some of them. Yeah. So it was just crazy. Hydro was out at the beginning, I think, out in the country. But by the time I got home, it was back on again. But, yeah, they had it wild out there.
Yeah.
I stayed with an aunt in Clinton for the 5 days. My friend and I stayed at her place for the 5 days. Yeah. Well, like, you know, everyone who bought that book, well, I won't say everyone, most people who bought that book remembered that storm.
Right.
And it sold well because of the storm, I think.
All right. So what is one of the biggest challenges you faced as a writer?
Marketing. I hate it. I absolutely hate it. If I never had to market, I would be quite happy. But yeah, I don't know. I don't have to market. I could just write for my own enjoyment. But you kind of feel you have to make a good reason why you spend this much time on something, right?
Right, exactly.
But I know I'm not good at marketing, and I have a friend who tries to market me because she knows I hate it. But anyway, yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Did you always know you wanted to self-publish? Because it's kind of the same thing with marketing. So you're self-published, and when you self-publish, you can't do your own marketing or hire somebody out. So did you always know you wanted to self-publish?
No, I wanted to find a publisher. I tried for years to get a publisher. And what finally did me in was, I won't say the name of the company, but there was a publishing company in Winnipeg that took Beyond Reach and had me sign an exclusive contract with them, and they were going to publish it the following year. And then the following year they got their funding cut and could only publish so many titles, and they went with their known authors. So for 2 years they had my book, and I couldn't send it anywhere else while they had it. And then after 2 years I thought, this is ridiculous. I've been trying to market this book for 10 years now. Like, this is crazy. So, and by that point, when I first started trying to publish, self-publishing had a stigma attached to it, and there was this misconception that good writers don't self-publish, right? And by the time I decided to, that wasn't as much a thing. A lot of people had turned to self-publishing by that point. And, you know, they were getting recognized as good writers. So, and looking, like, now I, the only reason I think you need a publisher is they can get you exposure that you can't get in marketing. But you don't, the percentage you get if you have a publisher is just pathetic.
Do you know what it is, the percentage?
It used to be 15, then it dropped to 10, now it's like 7.5.
Oh, yeah, that's...
Yeah.
I guess if you sell a whole lot, then it's okay.
But... Oh, yeah. Like, you know, it balances, because if they get you all across Canada and even into the States or whatever, you will still make more money that way than you would on your own.
Right.
But you have to have a book that just flies off the shelves.
Right.
You know. And some people do, and, you know, some people get the big name publishers and they're good at what they do, but the smaller presses don't do that much for you. And the big name publishers, they want you to have an agent. And getting an agent is as hard as getting a publisher in Canada.
Yeah.
So it's just kind of a, unless you know the right people and have connections, it's certainly not easy. Even for some of the best writers I know have trouble. So, yeah.
Is writing predominantly a pleasure, a struggle, or something in between?
It's back and forth, I think. You know, like when you write into a story, it's a pleasure. But it can also be a struggle. Like right now, I'm not as into this book as I usually am. I won't say it's a struggle, but it's just not catching me like my other ones have. And I'm trying to get to that point that I feel it more than I'm feeling it. And that's what's wrong with the book, to me, is I'm not involved enough in it. But when I am, it's a pleasure,
right?
So I'm not sure what I can do with this book. I'm not even sure if this book is going to ever see the light of day. I have my my critiquing group. We're going through it month by month, right? And they're encouraging me. They like it, but I'm like...
You're not as excited
for this. No, no. Yeah.
And for me, that question, whether it's a pleasure or a struggle, depends on sort of what part of the writing I'm doing, for instance. Like the first draft I really enjoy,
mm-hmm.
and the editing I enjoy less. Do you find certain aspects of writing you enjoy more than others, or do you, if you're into it, you enjoy all aspects?
I pretty much do. I like editing my own work, but I also like writing the first draft. I like polishing it and making it better. And I'll go through it 10 times, like sometimes more.
Right.
So, but I like to edit for other people too, so it's just something I enjoy. Yeah. But a lot of people hate revision. They like the first draft.
Me, that's me. Yeah. I like the first draft. And I feel like the first few edits I didn't hate. But I've, by my book, I've been over almost 7 years now, and I've done like 20 revisions.
Wow.
I feel like, so once you get into like 7, 8, 9, 10, for me anyway, it's like, okay, this is getting to be a lot.
Yeah.
So
that's what it was with Beyond Reach. I was constantly redoing that book.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So
did it ever wear on you eventually?
Well, I had to abandon it for a while because it was just too much. And then I went back and started redoing it, and I thought, oh, it's pretty good. But I had kind of abandoned it for maybe 3 years or something. Yeah. Because it was just, it was getting to be too much. So, but I know people that don't even want to revise once, and you have to.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
You want to make it good.
I know.
First draft is never good enough.
No, I never think so.
I don't know, and even published, big names, I'm pretty sure they don't. Even if they're not doing the revisions, but somebody.
Mm. Yeah.
If they have a publisher that's helping them with that. Like, I don't think the book you see on the shelf is never a first draft, as far as I
know. Oh, it shouldn't be, I don't think.
Yeah.
Alice Munro, there's a story that she used to, she would revise so much that she would hand off her story to her publisher, and then, can I just get it back? I have one more change to make, right?
Okay,
They said she was notorious for that. She was never happy with her work.
Right.
Yeah, so, anyway.
Do you do any research? And if so, how do you go about it?
I love research.
Yeah.
I can get lost in research. It depends on the book, but for Broken Chain, I really researched the blizzard because, I mean, I had it my point of view, but I wanted to know general overall. So I went to the Goderich Library and looked up old newspaper accounts and all that. That's what I did there. Beyond Reach was a lot of research. I sat in the archives and did a lot of research on it, in Gravenhurst area. I went up there and did some research up there, and and this latest one I did a lot of research on endangered species, and mostly that, I guess. There wasn't that much else I researched for it. Oh, well, 1918 to 1925, I had to know, exactly what she would have been cooking with and wearing and all that,
right.
So, yeah.
Time period, because we've talked about it in previous meetings, kind of getting the feel of a time period too.
Mm-hmm.
Did you, like, when you're researching, that time period, does it help you get a feel?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It does.
How things were back then.
You start visualizing, you know. It's by the time I was a kid or old enough to pay attention, both the house and the barn back there had been pulled down. So I have no idea what that farm looked like. But I can visualize, and whether I'm right or whether I'm wrong, I know exactly what that farm looks like in my mind.
Right.
You know, yeah.
Which is when you're writing, anyway, that's the important thing, yeah. Is just to know what it looks like in your mind.
Yeah.
How many books did you write before you published your first?
Oh. Well, I wrote a lot of bad ones.
Those count.
I wouldn't be able to come up with a number, I don't think.
A dozen? Two dozen?
Oh, no. Well, maybe six or seven. I don't know. I started off writing short stories and actually won a couple competitions with my short stories and then went into writing books. So, yeah. So I don't know.
Something around six or seven.
Probably, yeah. It depends whether you mean a serious... Like I used to, for my kids when they were growing up, I used to write them stories, or it was more like episodes of a TV show that I loved and they loved. So I would write episodes and read them to them at night and things like that.
So yeah, even if you did six or seven books, you did lots of little
tons. Lots of
little
stuff
beyond that, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, along the same lines, how many stories have you started and never finished?
Like ones that I really intended to market, I'd have to say two books that I just didn't see the light of day, but lots that I didn't intend to market. It's just,
Just for writing.
Yeah.
Did you ever consider writing under a pseudonym?
I did when I first self-published. I thought but it just didn't feel right. But a lot of people do write under, yeah. And I have a friend, actually. He writes his different genres under different names. And then he uses his own name for his serious literary writing. But he also does, sci-fi, fantasy under a different name, and he does erotica under a different name. Wow. Yeah, and he makes his most money off of it.
So, biggest market, I guess.
Yeah, I couldn't write it, but yeah, but he does make a fair bit of money off of that.
That's good.
Yeah, so.
What other authors are you friends with, and how have they helped you become a better writer?
Most of my friends are authors, writers.
Yeah.
Or I should say, like when I lived in Niagara area, I was part of the Canadian Authors Association, and we met once a month. So I got to be friends with most of those people, and they were all writers. And then when I moved up here, in 2007, I wanted to meet people, you know. So I decided to put together a course, and I taught creative writing. And a lot of my friends are from that course that I met through that course, yeah. So I have a lot of writing friends. And then I went to the Humbler School for Writers for two semesters, and we formed a critiquing group out of that, and you know, so they're in my life too. Still, we still have our critiquing group going. And I went to the Mohawk, for a writing course, and met some people through that. So one of my best friends is from there, from that course.
Nice.
Yeah, so I have a lot of writing friends. I'm not all close friends, but yeah. So.
Have they helped you become a better writer?
Oh, yeah.
Just based on critiques? Or?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I really noticed a difference after I joined the Canadian Authors. they would have their critiquing nights, and I found out I needed to do a lot of work. I thought it was pretty good, but no. Anyway. And then, the Humber School for Writers, I just took off in that, because I had a mentor, Alan Cumming, and he writes a lot of books, and he was my mentor, and he just helped me enormously. And that the book we worked on was Beyond Reach with him. Yeah. And then some of my friends joined the Humber School for Writers critiquing group that we had, and a couple of them are still in it. So, yeah.
If you could tell your younger writing self anything, what would it be?
Boy, I don't know. Well, I don't know how you do this. I'd tell her to have more confidence, but right. How do you do that?
Right, yeah, exactly.
Probably write what you feel, what you love. Like, don't try to write for a market. Just write, and your market will be there. If you write what you really care about. I don't know how people write for market, because they kind of get stuck, and I can't do that.
Yeah, I mean, I couldn't spend so much time with something unless I'm really interested.
Yes, yeah. I remember trying to write a Harlequin romance. Well, I didn't write it, but you have to have so many, like, it's so structured, yes. You know? They got to fight and break up, fight and break up, fight and break up. It's like three or four times, and and they give you an outline telling you all this, or at least they did. I mean, this was years and years ago, and I couldn't do it. I actually wanted to kill my main character, and I wasn't allowed to. So no, I
yeah. Yeah, well, the same way then. Yeah.
Yeah.
I couldn't do it either.
No.
What was the best money you ever spent as a writer?
Humber School for Writers. It was amazing. Luckily, I got a grant for it. They only gave them to so many people, and I was one that got one. I was very lucky. But, you know, it still costs something on top of that. Yeah.
How does anyone, in case anyone's interested in enrolling in Humber School?
Well, you contact them. You have to send in a sample of your writing. And from that, they determine whether you, I don't want to say are good enough, but whether you qualify for going to the school. And also from that, they decide whether you're going to get a grant. So, but you just contact them. I mean, it's all there if you research them online. And they, you are allowed to pick. Choose your three top picks for who you want to mentor you. And I didn't even know who Alan Cumming was.
Did you pick him?
He was one of my picks just because he worked with novels. Some of them didn't. But my top pick I didn't get. But looking back, I'm really glad I didn't.
Right.
Yeah. So, yeah. Oh, he was amazing.
Do you hide any secrets in your books that only a few people might find?
Yeah. But you know, the funny thing about that is I used to worry that somebody would read it and say, that happened to me, she picked that from me. They don't. They don't see themselves.
So you do, like, you know who you're taking it, like,
well,
from person to in your life, but... you hide it in a way that nobody can trace it to that person.
Yeah, yeah. But, you know, I change it enough that they don't seem to connect it. I was quite worried about one scene in Beyond Reach that a friend of mine would recognize this from her childhood. And it was a very nasty little thing. And she didn't. She read the book. She loved it. She didn't see it at all.
Right.
But I had worried about that because I thought, you know, she maybe won't like me using this. But I had changed it enough that she didn't. Nobody would have known.
Right.
It was from her. It back, yeah. No. Yeah.
It's a good secret.
Yeah. But yeah, I think every, I don't know, maybe other writers don't feel this way, but I think just about everything you put into a book, you have some knowledge of, or you have had some personal connection to it. I shouldn't say everything, that's not true, but a lot of the more, the bigger things in a book, I think. For me, I've had some connection to it.
And I was just thinking about that, because I've heard lots of authors say that, and I sometimes, I mean, I don't really look for it, but for my own writing, I don't really make, you know, concrete connections between what I'm writing and my own experiences, but I think it's probably subconscious, like it's something that I've experienced, even if it's not a direct line to what I'm writing.
You're writing more science fiction, is it?
Historical fiction, over 2,000 years ago, so it's really removed from our modern day life, right?
Yeah, and I can see that totally, like you wouldn't be connected to that.
Right.
Because what I'm writing is from, I won't say from my past, but it's my family and my friends, things that happened to them, sort of thing, you know.
And I know the book I'm writing now, like I know going into it, I was thinking of, you know, movies I've seen or books I've read where I'd like certain elements of the story or the characters or whatnot and kind of drew from that. So yeah, it's harder for me to make a connection to my own experiences.
It would be. Yeah.
Taking it from other
cues.
But I mean, I experienced those myself by reading the book or watching the movie or whatever, right? So.
Not everything in my books have a personal connection either, but usually it's the personal connections that get me writing. Right.
Yeah.
But then you go off into fiction too. Yeah. My short story that I think it won, was that the one? One won the Osmond Rowe short story. I think it was that one. It was based on my aunt. I can say that because she's long gone. But when I was a kid growing up, I'd go visit my cousin, and her mom would be, every night after supper, she'd go and sit on a stool, and they had a wall phone, and she'd sit and never say a word. And she'd sit there for ages, right? And I'd think, what's she doing? Well, it was a party line. She'd hear the ring come in for a neighbor, and then she'd eavesdrop. She'd listen in on the phone call. But she was quite a different person, and she kind of ignored her kids. But she was the town or the community gossip, right? She got all her gossip from the party line. So the name of the short story was Party Line.
Oh, really?
And it was based on her. But nobody would know because I totally changed her.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. But,
But again, personal experience.
Yeah.
And that's, I feel like I might be something that's missing in my writing because I don't really have that. And so it's hard to manufacture sometimes emotion or whatever. Writing when it's not coming personally, kind of feel removed.
Yeah.
So I think that's a good thing to do, is what you're doing. How long, on average, does it take you to write a book?
Depends on the book. Broken Chain, I did it in a year, first draft. Beyond Reach, I called it my never ending novel because I kept working on it all the time. I couldn't even tell you how long that took. For the first draft, maybe a couple of years. But for all the revisions, you know, years.
Yeah.
And the one that just came out, I did it fairly quickly, I think, because it went through my Humber group, like my critiquing group. And I had to present at least 10 pages every month. So, and it isn't as long a book as the other two. So it probably took me a year or more for the first draft. Yeah, yeah. But beyond reach, I never thought it was going to end.
It's not like it's similar. My mind's only 7 years now. It's the last 2 or 3 years, it feels like. Because like, I don't know if that was your experience, but I feel like, okay, it's done now. Then it wasn't done. And then you work on it for some more.
Yeah.
And it gets done. And then you realize it's not done.
Yeah. And then you have proofreaders and they pick up things and you think, oh, okay, and I got to change it all again,
yeah,
right?
Exactly. Yeah. Do you believe in writer's block?
Oh, yes.
Do you experience it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think, and I think the problem with that word is it's not completely accurate. You're not inspired. More than blocked. Like, I need something to, an event or a memory or something to inspire me to start a story. And sometimes there's nothing there. But it's not that I'm totally blocked, because I can work on an old piece of writing and revise it. But I can't come up with anything new that I want to write.
Right,
so
writer's block, I think the definition or whatever is, can't write.
Mm-hmm.
You sit down and you physically have nothing to, nothing comes.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, it's not really writer's block in that instance anyway.
It's
just lack of inspiration.
Yeah. I always used to find if my life was kind of chaotic or whatever, I could write like mad.
Oh, really?
But if my life was going too smoothly, not so much. So, but I don't want the chaos, you know.
Right.
But,
I almost need a little bit of disruption.
Yeah.
In order to make that.
Yeah.
Have that flow.
Yeah. Right. Otherwise, I just sort of, well, everything's pretty good.
Why bother?
Yeah. I used to write about my dad a lot after I left home, but a lot of my stories started with this angry father and all this. And then my dad and I got on good terms after a while, and wasn't so inclined to write that anymore. But but it was just, we just locked horns. We were, oh, my poor mother.
Oh, yeah.
So, yeah.
Well, last question.
Okay.
One more. Out of your three books, do you have a favorite, whether that's in terms of the final product or the creation process? You can decide, but do you have a favorite?
I've always, Beyond Reach has always been my favorite. I did so much research for that book, and I loved the main character because she was feisty and, you know, and she was complicated. You know, people really liked her, but there were things about her that she wasn't always doing the right things, or, well, most of the time she wasn't doing the right things.
Oh, yeah.
But you couldn't help but love her, you know. So, And I never feel I write a character. I feel the character writes herself. And Ray did. She just came off the page. You know, I was so into her character. But I don't feel, I felt it was kind of gifted to me. So now everyone says Dancing with the Shadows, or shouldn't say everyone, but most people say Dancing with the Shadows is my best book. I've been getting that from so many people. To me, it's not, but to my audience, it is. So, and I mean, I love that book too. It's just, I never have a character like Ray again, I don't think. She was just so in my head, you know.
Well, that sounds like lots of fun to write.
It was, yeah. And all the jumping around in time, too, because it was World War II had just ended. So there was a lot of research for that, you know, rationing and all the things that happened. So, I don't know, I just love research, I think. Yeah.
And that one had the most.
It had the most, yeah, definitely.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Huron County Author Talk with your host, Hamilton Baker. I hope you enjoyed my chat with Sandy as much as I did. If you'd like to purchase one of her books, you can find them at local bookstores or you can order them online through Amazon. You can also borrow all three of her books from the library. Visit HuronCountyLibrary.ca to place a hold today. Stay tuned for our next episode that will release in 2 weeks. The music on this program is Echo by Alan McKellis. Thanks for listening.